Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. All right, going to get right into the message. Better not hang around here long. Got Mark. I'm going to be in Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. Pray this will be a help to you today. I want you to know it is good to see you in God's house today. We appreciate you choosing to come and worship with us. Now, this is so familiar. You know what's about to happen in this story right here. Everyone, we've heard this all our lives, and Bible readers, and we've had Sunday school lessons on it, I don't know, it's never been exhausted, but I can't tell you the messages I've heard on this passage. Chris Rumfelt's got one that's just outstanding on this particular passage. But I'm going to preach something maybe a little different today. I don't know, you've probably heard it before, nothing new under the sun. Someone somewhere has had this idea, I'm sure, this thought. But if you're at Mark 4 and 35, shout amen for me.
Amen.
And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them. Now the same day as this, he's been giving a large discourse here. He's been out, he's sitting in the ship. He's preaching to them on the shore. And on this same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Tells you where he's at. And there were also with him other little ships. That's what I'm interested in today. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. That doesn't, in the Greek there, that doesn't mean that it was sinking full, but it was being filled. There was water coming into the ship. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and saying to him, I think the saddest question in the Bible right here, or maybe the most foolish, is, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Let me tell you, he cares today. He cares if anyone perishes. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Father, I love you. I thank you for what you've done already today, Lord. I'm praying you'd help me now. Give me voice and strength. I pray you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me, God, inside the bounds of this book. I'm praying that my God would look favorably upon this message this morning. It would touch the hearts of those gathered inside these walls and those viewing on video or wherever they might be listening. I'm praying, God, you'd save the lost, God. You'd set the saint of God on fire afresh and anew. I'm praying you'd help me for a little while. Oh, God, I need you today. Deliver your message, Lord. Through your servant, I'll praise you forever. For all you're doing, I ask it in the King's name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to try to preach this morning for a little while on this thought. The Christian ship. The Christian ship. Let's review this passage of Scripture briefly here this morning before I give you my 3 points, main points of the message. Now, Jesus has come out. And no doubt at this particular time, he's tired in the body. He's so much man that he can be tired. But he's so much God that everything that was made has to listen to him when he speaks to it. Hey, the wind couldn't do a thing with him. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Hey, he's got the power to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. Nothing's caught him off guard. He's not surprised. He knows right where you're at today, and he's not surprised by it. Amen. Here he is in the ship, tired, taking a little nap, and a storm comes up. They knew the storm was coming before it got there. Faith that hasn't, I learned this from Wiersbe. I wish I'd thought of it myself. But I'll give him credit for it and quote it. Faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. And watch this. The Lord has just spoken on several different things. There's a man on the other side of the sea that needs something done for him. Desperately bad, and he knows that it's going to take a storm to prove to his disciples that he is who he says he is. And so Brother Tommy, he don't calm that storm. You know what we want? Here's what Mike McCoy likes. I have been tested this week. I'm got to go back and preach again Monday night in Knoxville, and there's two things I don't like, and both of them's been stuck in traffic. And so by the time I get to the split where 40 and 75 comes together, you stop. And you stop and go until you get to 17th Avenue, and then mine is the next exit. And I've been sorely tested this week. I could have wrecked any time I wanted to. All I had to do is not pull up when this nut job behind me is sliding up behind me. Or just not hit the gas or the brake to get out of the way or to stop. I could wreck any day of the day. I could have wrecked if I'd wanted to. I don't want to wreck. I'm trying to get from here to there. I'm being tested. So Friday night when I put the fleece out and I said, God, now I know. Some don't believe in doing that, but he's answered too many of mine. So I'm not going to change my mind on it. They say that's an Old Testament process. Well, bless God, I'm telling you, it's worked for me in the dispensation of grace. And he's put it out, and God answered it. I'm going back Monday night. I'm saying this. He says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? He knows how it's going to be before we ever get there. He knew the storm was coming before the storm ever arose. He's taking a nap. I want you to understand something here. From the place where they left to the place where they was going, it is the natural course of wind to blow them that way. In other words, they left from the western bank. They were headed to the eastern shore. And it is common for the wind to come off the sea and blow that way. I've been there. I know some of you have been there. Sister Mary's been there two or three times. We've been there, stood on that. You can feel the wind blowing. Here's the thing about this particular thing. When Jesus got, they were already in the boat. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. All they had to do was hang on through the storm and the wind would have blew them right where he said they was going. But when they got afraid, when they became afraid, and they said, we're going to perish. Can I ask you a question? How can the thing created kill or take down the creator? It's God's call, Brother Brant. Whether you go through a storm or I go through a storm, or I'm just going to tell you, everybody in this room, you've been saved for 2 minutes, you've been in a storm. I got some good news for you. You're going through another one. There'll be another one come your way before you get out of here. It'll come your way. What are you saying about all this, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. Listen, God knew where the storm was. They ought to just held on, bucked up, held on. I'm telling you, that ship's not, The ship's not going down with the master aboard. And the storm would have blown them right where he wanted them to go. They'd have got there quicker by the wind of the storm than they did when he said, "Peace be still," and it calmed down. You know what happened? Get out the oars, boys. Now you're going to have to work to get there. The storm would have put you right on the beach. It'd have blown them right up. They'd have stepped up. They'd have looked like MacArthur's other landing. Praise God. Stepped right off there. They was. And there's a Gadarene waiting on them over there. We don't want the storm. We'd rather have the calm. I'd rather have the calm. I'd rather have no traffic. I don't even have to turn on my turn signal. I like to get in the left lane, driving as fast as I can without getting a ticket, and go straight to the church and get out 35 minutes early and go, whoopee, happy day. I'm going to take the storm and I'm going to put you where I want you to be with a storm. Or if not, if I calm that storm, you're going to have a little work to do now. I think it would have been easier on them just to rode out the storm. It's just 7 miles or 14. Let's say it's 7 wide and 14 deep up and down. So it'd be hard to row 5 or 6 miles in a pretty good sized boat. I don't know how close they was to the shore when finally he said, "Peace be still," and it calmed, but there they were. Now, what's all that got to do with this? What's interesting about this? We see the command for them to go across. We see the condition that they were sailing in. Some of you sailing in some bad conditions right now. Some of you got some conditions right ahead of you. It's going to get real bad. It'll get bad. Understanding is the king's in charge. It's not my call. So I was talking to Brother Roger Buck this morning. He mentioned that little boy that it was his daddy. I think his daddy backed over him with the lawnmower and cut part of his toes off. Am I right in that, Jennifer? He kept his foot. He lost his toes. Is that accurate? He said, "This daddy's devastated. I can't imagine where he's at. I mean, I can't even fathom that. The child just took off chasing the lawnmower. Daddy had no ideas behind him. Throwed her in reverse, went backing up. Kawhop, now he's cut the kid's toes off. So he's maimed for life. He's not dead. But for sure, he'll have issues the rest of his days with that. What a storm. What a storm. Sean, I'm telling you, brother, that'd ring my, what would you do if you'd done that? You know what you do? You trust the king. You just trust the king. I'm telling you, in this world, it's going to be hard. There's going to be difficulties. We're living in a cursed world. There's children that's born with disabilities. Hey, why was Brooks born so early? I don't know. You know all we could do? Trust the king. You know what? It's worked out all right. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what condition you're sailing in right now, but I tell you this, hey, trust the king. It's going to be all right. Then we see the calm. He'll always give us that. Eventually, every Christian will have that. We'll have the calm. There's coming a day when there's no more crying, tears, pain, suffering, death. All those things are gone. And it's calm. But between now and then, bless the Lord, little brother. Praise God. Teach them while they're young. You know what we are? We're another little ship. We're sailing this little ship. Our little ships, think about this now. If the big ship was having trouble, if the big ship's having trouble, how about all the other little ships that was with him? What kind of shape you think they's in? It doesn't say much about them other than they was with. This is what got me. Look who it says he was with. And there, in verse 36, and there were also with him other little ships. That's the difference maker. Are you still with me? I want to preach on three Christian ships. Ship number one today is this. There has to be relationship. Listen, you're not in the boat with him without relationship. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even them that believe on his name. Born, in other words, birthed, newborn, born not of blood. Why is he saying that? Because all the Jews standing around this thought this. They thought they were in because of Father Abraham. That don't put you in the ship. Wrong ship. You're in the wrong ship. That's not relationship. No, Father Abraham can't get you in there. Bless God, it's Jesus. It's by the blood of Jesus that we're in. Born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, what men will, nor the will of man, but of God. What is it? It's God's will that we be born again. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be. So you say that here all the time. You know why that is? Because ye must be born again. Just being in church won't do it. You must be born again. Being a good person won't do it. You must be born again. In order to be in relationship, you must be born again. This thing, Sister Jessica said it in testimony, this thing is filthy rags. I can't get in on my good merits or my good works. It's not by anything I've done, but it's by his righteousness. Are you with me? I don't know. Relationship is a state of being connected by blood or marriage. That's what relationship is. You know what I have today? His DNA. I'm not even worried about anybody changing that thing. I'm in by his DNA. By the blood. In relationship, can I ask you today, are you in relationship with him? Is it by the blood? And it will be. Look, we are the bride of Christ and we're a spouse to him. That's the same as being married. In the eyes of a Jew, it took a divorce to separate that. Or infidelity, and then they killed you for it. Are you in relationship? We've got to be in relationship. That's the Christian ship. Are you with me or no? It's not only by birth. We experience it by birth, but it's exampled by our behavior. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There it is. What does that mean? That means that you'll be different, odd and peculiar. The world won't like what you do. You stick out like a sore thumb. And you're not going to go along with what everybody else goes along with. You just can't do it. You can't do it if you're being led by the Spirit of God. You want something to show dogmatically that they're not children of God? It's when they're not led by the Spirit of God. If they take that book and try to justify their alternative lifestyles and everything that they do that's wrong according to Scripture, friend, they cannot. God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't contradict himself in what he says, and they cannot be the sons of God if they're not led by the Spirit of God according to the Scripture. Amen. Now, that's not very popular preaching, and I'm not trying to win a contest. I'm trying to tell you the truth, and you got to be in relationship or you're in the wrong boat. You'll not get in. You'll not make it to the other side unless the captain, Christ, of our salvation is aboard your little ship. There must be relationship number two. If there's relationship, the Christianship, if there's relationship, here's something else there's got to be. There's got to be fellowship. You've got to have fellowship. You won't get away without it. Look, and the mark of being in relationship is that you have fellowship. Now, I don't want to leave out any of this, so listen closely and you'll know where I'm reading. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. In other words, there is no other way unless you hear. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The way to have fellowship with us is to heed to this, declaring to you that you may also, you take this word and apply it, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So if we're in relationship, we will automatically have, by the natural order, fellowship. Listen, and these things write we unto you, here's why, that your joy may be full. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, if we don't heed that, if we're not in fellowship, we can't have full joy. If we've got relationship, it enables us to have fellowship. And if we have fellowship, it gives us the ability to have full joy. If we don't have fellowship, we can't have the joy, listen, that God wants us to have.
Amen.
Can't do it. Now, we may have things that happen that we enjoy the happenings, but I'm telling you, as I've said earlier, conditions are going to change and you're going to be in a storm. Before you blink your eyes, you'll be in another storm. He wants us in fellowship.
Amen.
How do you know that? Because I'm going to keep reading. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Here's what John said he heard of him. And declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's what we're declaring today. That's why I don't understand why people want to turn the lights out to have church. For the life of me, Dennis Bilbrey, I can't figure that out. Why would you turn, if God is light and in him is no darkness at all, bless the Lord, turn the light on. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have. Now, the only way we can have fellowship with him is to have relationship, being born into the family. It not only with the birth, but the behavior will be demonstrated, exampled in our life if we're led by the Spirit of God. And we'll have the fellowship, but if we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's with the Father.
Amen.
And the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Understanding this, that's not a one and done. Why? Because I need a bath a lot. And it's the thing that washes us and keeps us. It cleanseth. Brother Raymond Riggs in Bible Institute used to say that us, T-H on the end, puts her in fluid drive. Means it just keeps it going. Cleanseth us. We need that. There's somebody in this congregation today that there's a good chance that you might be out of fellowship. Or you may have never gotten into the relationship with Christ. You've done a lot of things, you've never been born again. You don't even like the term. That term disturbs people that's lost. They're like Nicodemus. Must I enter the second time in my mother's womb and be born? No, you can't do that. You can't be born but one time. So what we do, Brother Gordon, is we come, we confess. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that do? Puts us right in relationship with the Lord. Not only then are we in relationship, but then we have the possibility of having fellowship. Now that fellowship, I want you to get this. It means participation. But it also means this. It means participation, and it also means communication. It means to communicate. Now, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. What does that mean? That means I've got unconfessed sin in my life, and he's quit listening to me. That fellowship has been broken. I need to reestablish communication. How do I reestablish communication? I confess to him that I'm a sinner. I thought you saved to the uttermost. What does that mean? I just read it to you. I quote it all the time. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. So what does that mean? It means the practice of habitual sin. What do? We confess that to him. Repent. Confession is something you say. Repentance is something you do. Repentance means I'm going this way, and all of a sudden I repent and I turn 180. Now I'm going this way. It's over. I've repented. I've left it behind me. I got a pile of stuff behind me. I wish I didn't have nothing behind me, Mark, but I got stuff behind me, and I'm going to tell you, if God don't come get me real soon, I have something else behind me. You got some piles too, friend. Oh, yeah. Don't get too sanctimonious this morning. Yeah. You're not sanctified past sin. You're sanctified. We're positioned. The sanctity is this. We have a position in Christ, but it's not only positional, it's progressive. And what's that mean? That means that I need it every day. I got a song God gave me. I may sing it tonight. I don't know. But Corbin was preaching one time and said this, if I got a problem, the problem's me. And I wrote a song about it. I thought that fits Mike McCoy. We are in that, but we have fellowship. Fellowship can be restored at any given moment you want to call upon the name of the Lord. And look here. Don't pray in hypotheticals, but pray specifically. If you got aught against your brother, come and tell God, I've got an aught against, and name them. You know what he'll do? Restore fellowship. One preacher said this woman in his church gave him a hard time. Said she could not keep her mouth shut. She run her mouth to him and to everybody. She come to the altar one day, and she's on the altar. She said, I'm praying the Lord forgive my sin, preacher. He said, what sin is that? She said, I'm praying that he'll help my tongue. He said, well, this altar's only 8 foot long, but do the best you can. Lay it out there. That might have been a little harsh on her, but I think she got the point. She never had no more trouble. You know why? She confessed it, Randy. Put it behind her and went on. Fellowship. One more, I'm done. Are you in relationship with him this morning? Have you been in there by the blood and by marriage? Are you in fellowship with him this morning? Do you participate with the Lord? Do you communicate with him? We need one more. If we've got relationship and fellowship, then we're capable of the worship. We can ride in the worship. Now, worship changes everything else. There was some worshiping this morning. Jesus said this to the woman at the well. After she's left the well, they're speaking. He said, I'll give you water. You'll never thirst again. She wanted that water. She didn't understand it. But then he comes to this. He said, the time will come, and now is. Now, the time will come. Well, and now is. That they that worship him, or God seeketh such. Look, true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. And God seeketh such to worship him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in two things, in spirit and in truth. Anything else is not worship. And I preached it the other night in revival. I preached it here. There's a fellow that's been in church forever come up to me. He said, I've never heard that in my life. He said, I feel like I was ignorant to it. I said, nothing wrong with that, brother. God showed you something tonight. I said, praise, it'll always be up. We praise the Lord. But true worship is down. There's not a lot of people who do true worship because they won't do this. We were in a big meeting somewhere. I don't know where I was. But Mike Blanton and I were preaching it together. And all of a sudden, Blanton starts crawling to the altar. He's way off over here somewhere. I look up. Here he comes on his hands and knees crawling. And he gets to the altar and he just slides down. I mean, there was no invitation going. Nothing just happening. Just starting church. Just church. Here comes the guy's doing the preaching, crawling on his hands and knees up to the altar. Let me tell you what happened then. Heaven fell. Somebody started worshiping him because it's like this, true worship will be down. And God seeketh such to worship him. In other words, that's what he's looking for in true worship. You're not riding in that ship unless you meet two of these criteria right here. It's got to be in spirit. That's not Holy Ghost. Though it can mean that, it's the same word that's used for that. It means the life, the mind, the soul, the being, your very inner being, everything you got. Worship him. You know what that brings? That can only be done, Randy Maynard, in humility. You know why people won't do that? P-R-I-D-E. The Holy Ghost urging them, you need to worship. Worship me in spirit. And you know what? Let Randy Maynard do it. He's a preacher. If you're going to ride in that ship, number one, in order to do it in spirit, it'll have to be done in humility. That means this. You don't care who's watching. Because this is all you know. That the one that's been better to you than anybody else. Listen, you never took a breath. You never eat a bite of bread. You don't have your spouse. You don't have your home. Acts 17:28, praise God. You don't have one thing apart from him today. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing, bless God. Yesterday, we went down there and spent time with the family. Little Bud saw me and come running out there. Pa picked him up. I said, bless the Lord. That's a gift of God. God gives us that. You don't have a child, you don't have a job, you don't have a dollar in the bank, you don't have a jug of milk in the refrigerator. Bless the Lord forever, I'm about to have a fit. Hey, he's worthy of our worship. But only worship that is in humility is worship. I recall when these boys were down there to camp. What year was that, Seth, when it rained so much? 3 years ago? Am I close, Drew? I'm close, aren't I? 3 years? I'm down there and it's raining. They got these little things set up trying to keep people dry at the church youth camp. They had a service. I don't particularly care for some of the songs they sing, and they know that. I'm just not a contemporary guy. It don't do a thing for me. It's like if you don't like buttermilk, somebody sets a big glass down in front of you, he ain't going to do a thing for you because you ain't going to drink it. But then you get some knot-headed hick like me, throw a little salt in that thing. Man, I love it. Salt fixes anything, Randy said. But they're down there singing the songs, and it was good, it was good. I could still say amen, I agreed with it, amen. I could still praise the Lord, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what I wasn't doing, I wasn't worshiping. And the ground's wet and it's muddy. Tommy, I look up, these three of our boys crawled over there, and here's what they do. They crawl over there at the altar and do this. They lay there on the ground. I'm telling you, at that moment, I begin to worship. Something happened to me because worship was happening with them. And God stirred me up. Glory to God, I'm telling you, set me on fire. Why? Because somebody started to worship the Lord. But it's not just in humility. It has to be done in truth, which is honesty. It has to be right. It has to be that thing in you. You know, it lines up with this book, and you're not proving nothing to nobody. You don't care who's watching. You know the Lord is. And in humility, you humble yourself before God and with everything you got. In the truth of the word, you worship him. If it doesn't line up with that gospel, it's not spirit and it's not truth. He said, try the spirit and see if it be a God. How you gonna do that when it lines up with that book? God's in it. That's how he does it. Can I ask you a question this morning? What boat you riding in? Are you in relationship with him? You ever been saved? You can hang on to mama's hand right up to the graveyard, and mama's saved and you're lost, the Lord come or you die. I'm telling you, the hand will be separated. You're not going to hold mama's hand into heaven. You must be born again. You'll either be born again or you won't go. And if you're born again, here's what God requires of us. He just said it in his book. He's looking for fellowship. Are you riding in those two ships? And if you are, there's a lot of people riding in those ships. They're in relationship with the Lord. They're in fellowship with the Lord. Look, they speak to the Lord. They communicate. They're participating. They're coming to church. They're doing what God bid them do. They have grown. They have grown to the state of adolescence. Now, I'm about to make some of my adolescents mad in here this morning. But trust your old preacher. And when you're 45 or 50 years old, look back over your shoulder. Write this down. Make a note. And say, you know what? That old goat knew what he was talking about. In our adolescence, we know everything about everything there is anything to know anything about. And we don't know nothing. We know what we need to do, know what we're supposed to do. We even know how to do it. But we've not come to that place. We've not train wrecked enough, had enough encounters out on the sea. We've not woke up the Lord. The Lord hadn't woke us up. We've not had enough issues to understand, what real worship is. Delbert Raines has been at revival a couple, three nights this week, Brother Delbert. And he pastored down at Calvary. A bunch of you folk know him. I love him. His wife died. Peg died. And she was dead and buried before I even knew she'd passed away. She died, and Dale's been coming, sitting on front or second row. Friday night, it really got on me about her leaving. And there he sat. And I don't understand all that. I've got people in this room this morning. So one of them's left, and you're still here. You're leaving quick. You'll blink. You'll be your turn. I don't understand all that. But I tell you what I've seen. I've seen people in that position come to the place of humility and begin to worship God And they ain't nobody can help you like he can. And that's what he's looking for. In that time when you don't think you can, worship him in spirit and truth. In humility and honesty, because then, God's going to help you. I'm not going to say, because he doesn't do it like this, Brother Gordon. He don't pull you out of the situation. He just helps you sail the boat. Now, occasionally, he'll say calm. Occasionally, he'll say calm. But not every time. But here's what he'll say. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to meet your need, everything you need to get through. And this is top shelf right here. He says, my grace is sufficient. Some of you in a storm right now, some of you in a condition that you just wish you wasn't in. But God may be using that. And I'm seeing that most times he does to blow it right through. You know what he done through the death of my mother? He put me in ministry. And I never dreamed in 1,000 years they'd let me do what I've done. And if I don't get to go nowhere else, if he calls me out tonight, all I could say is, he's been a good God to me. I've been in relationship with him. They've been times I got so far out of fellowship with God, I'm telling you, out in the left field. And you know what I would hear in the midst of that condition and storm? Hello. Hello. Like the phone commercial, can you hear me now? Yeah. Sometimes he sends one thing, sometimes he sends another. We don't know all he wants. He just wants my relationship to be strong, my fellowship to be sure, and he wants worship from myself. Randy Maynard cannot worship for Mike McCoy. Can't do it. Now, he can help me stay in fellowship because we have fellowship one with another. It holds us accountable. We need that. But he can't worship for me. It's a pretty big deal that God, come to the piano, Sister Jewel, come on. It's a pretty big deal that God would seek worship. Would seek worship from this. It's a big deal. God wants fellowship with me. It's a real big deal that God would put me in relationship with him. And what it cost to get me there was his son. I wouldn't give my son for anybody in this room but Pat. Nobody else. The order has got to be God, spouse, children. The Lord gave the very best heaven had for a hillbilly named Mike McCoy. That's a big deal. As we stand to our feet and you bow your heads all over the sanctuary this morning. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.